And all the people said amen. And they said amen again. And they said amen one more time. Can you put your glad hands together and praise God all over this building? Can you thank God for what we have experienced here already this morning? We celebrate your esteemed and dynamic pastor for 31 years of leadership. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad today for this church because you have a great pastor. I said, you have a great pastor. Can you just lean over and look at somebody and tell them, we have a great pastor. Amen. If you don't believe me, all you have to do is go to the National Baptist Convention website and look at the damage that he did to the convention center there in Montgomery, Alabama. Amen. I think his sermon has now been viewed by over 70,000 people. Come on, give God a hand for him. We have a new name for him. We call him the National Expositor because he's a gifted gospel genius. Let me thank God for him. I've already appreciated God for him privately in my period of prayer, but I wanted you to publicly know how much I appreciate him. We are indeed brothers, and I'm excited about that. And let me also acknowledge the leading lady, Sister Tori. Can y'all give Sister Tori? That's my sister. Amen. Hey, whenever we are together, you can always rest assured it's going to go down. Amen. Because we have kindred spirits, and I just love the fellowship with her and DZ. And I just thank God for Good Hope. Good Hope, give yourselves a hand. Can we celebrate this music ministry? I mean, this is one of the best music ministries in the country. I mean, it's one of the best music ministries in the country. And our brother Oliver, who blessed us, y'all give him a hand. Thank you. Thank you so very much to the staff, Cameron and Bill and the others. Thank you all so much. Deacon Nate Robinson, who picked me up at the airport and waited, and we waited and waited. After they lost my luggage, we waited and we waited and we waited. And finally, we left, and my luggage came early yesterday morning. So I want to thank Deacon Nate Robinson for picking me up and then bringing me, making sure I got here this morning. Let's go to work. Will you stand with me for the reading of the Word of God? This is the pastor's anniversary. And, you know, preachers say that they are not an occasional preacher. Well, you ought not accept the occasion. And so I know this is pastor's anniversary, and I want to speak to the occasion today, and hopefully my scattery thoughts will be a blessing to somebody worshiping today here at Good Hope. Acts chapter 16. I want to read for your hearing verses 6 through 10. Acts chapter 16. Amen. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Beginning in verse 6, it says, next Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia. But again, somebody shout, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the seaport of Troas. That night, let the church say that night, Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. I want to tag this text and prayerfully preach for just a few minutes from the sermon subject, The Macedonian Call. The Macedonian Call. Look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, oh neighbor, the guest preacher is going to preach this morning from the sermon subject, The Macedonian Call. Amen. The Macedonian Call. This morning, Good Hope, I'd like to begin my message by saying that the mission of the church has never changed. From the moment that Jesus declared the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28 and 19 and following, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Unto this present hour, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been commissioned, compelled, and commanded to preach the gospel to a dying world. And I thought it was important for me to say this on this celebratory Sunday, Cameron, as we celebrate the angel of this house for 31 years, because the pulpit, brothers and sisters, is not a platform for entertainment. The pulpit, somebody shout, the pulpit. The pulpit is not a stage for performance, but the pulpit is the sacred space from which the life-changing, soul-saving, and liberating message of Jesus Christ must be boldly proclaimed. Every Lord's Day, when those of us who approach the sacred desk to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, we must understand unequivocally that the mission of the church is the Great Commission. That's why I love coming to Good Hope, because Good Hope is a church that takes seriously the Great Commission. Somebody shout, the Great Commission. It's the Great Commission. It's not the Great Suggestion. It's not the Great Movement. It's not the Great Idea. It's not the Great Phenomenon. It is the Great Commission. Let the church say the Great Commission. And that mission is centered around the preaching of the gospel. It's about offering Jesus Christ to a lost world. You do remember that Jesus said on one occasion, and if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. You do remember that, don't you? It's about letting the world know that there is a reality in serving a true and a living God. It's about letting people know that God is real. Where are my praisers at this morning who can shout with me, God is real? I need about 20 people up in here, and I'll make 21 who will just shout with me, God is real. And that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Every soul this morning needs a savior. Somebody shout, everybody needs to be saved. I said, everybody needs to be saved. Make no mistake about it. Without Christ, Cameron, humanity is in a perpetual state of perishing. But God, I said, but God, But God, Tori, in his divine wisdom, has chosen to use preachers to declare his word. Paul said in Romans 10 and 14, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Preachers are not self-appointed. I need about five people to just shout, preachers are not self-appointed. They are God called. They are spirit filled and they are heaven sent. And somebody here needs to understand that a true call to preach has a burden attached to it. Listen at the preachers of old. Woe is me if I preach not. You don't believe it's a burden, but the burden of the preacher ignites a fire shut up in our bones. It is not an occupational decision, but a divine obligation. You don't choose preaching. Preaching chooses you. You don't fill out an application because it's something you desire to do. The late Larry Lott in Dallas said, many are called, but few are chosen, and some just went. The call preacher is apprehended by God. Listen to the words of the prophet Amos in the Old Testament in Amos 3 and 8 when he says, the Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Listen to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 20 and 9. Jeremiah, even when he tried to quit preaching, said, his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. Throughout history, God has raised up prophetic voices to declare his truth, from the thunderous sermons of Charles Spurgeon in England to the revivalist fire of Billy Sunday in America, from the eloquent theology of Gardner C. Taylor to the liberation preaching of Martin Luther King Jr. God has always had men and women standing in the gap, crying loud and sparing not. The world that we live in has changed. Look at somebody and tell them the world that we live in has changed. Not only has the world that we live in changed, but we need to understand that the culture has shifted. But in spite of the changing world and the shifting of culture, the need for gospel preaching remains the same. This generation doesn't need gimmicks. It needs the gospel. It doesn't need more influencers. It needs more intercessors. It doesn't need entertainers. It needs more evangelists. We need in our pulpits today men and women who will preach the gospel. Somebody shout, Dr. Cofield, keep preaching the gospel. We need men and women today in the pulpit to lift him up. And so in Acts 16, we see a divine moment in the life of the Apostle Paul. A moment where God, listen to me now, reroutes his plans in order to fulfill heaven's purpose. You do know, you Bible readers, that Paul had his sights set on Asia, but God had a greater assignment. The Spirit forbade him to go in the direction he originally intended. And one night in a vision, you read the text, I'm not making it up, Paul saw a man from Macedonia pleading, and here's what he was saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. This was not just a random dream. It was a divine call. Somebody shout with me. It was a divine call. The Macedonian call was a call to pivot, to obey the Spirit's leading, and to bring the gospel to an unreached people. This passage speaks, Deborah, to every preacher and every believer who's ever struggled to discern God's will. Somebody sitting in the church this morning, you may not be called to preach, but you're trying to discern the will of God. This passage reminds us that the call of God is not always convenient, but it's always critical. It teaches us that sometimes our greatest moments in ministry come not from our plans, but from God's interruptions. The Macedonian call is still echoing today. And I've come to ask a question today. Will you answer the Macedonian call? In 1853, a young shoe salesman named Dwight L. Moody responded to a simple call to teach Sunday school class on the north side of Chicago. He wasn't the most educated. He wasn't the most eloquent speaker in the church, but he was willing. Somebody shout, he was willing. And because he was willing, God used his yes to ignite a fire that would lead to one of the greatest evangelistic movements of the 19th century. Moody's call was not accompanied by trumpets or visions. It was an inner prompting, a spiritual pull, a Macedonian call to reach the lost. There was a great preacher in the borough of Brooklyn by the name of Gardner Taylor. Similarly, the late Dr. Gardner C. Taylor once said, God's call is not always loud, but it's always clear. When God calls, it might not make sense at first. He might close doors we thought would open. He might block plans we carefully constructed, but his redirection is never without purpose. You heard Cofield in his remarks when he said when he came here 31 years ago and he was looking at the 10-year previous pastors, he never thought he would stay. Somebody shout, God has his own plans. And so in Acts 16, 6 through 10, we find Paul, Silas, and Timothy faithfully traveling through Asia Minor, only to be forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach in certain places. Now that may seem strange to somebody. You might be asking, how can preaching the gospel ever be the wrong thing? But sometimes, listen to me now, God stops a good thing to guide us toward the God-ordained thing. That's what happened in the text. The text says, then, in a vision, a man from Macedonia pleads, come over and help us. This brothers and sisters, is the Macedonian call, and it is still echoing today. Over 31 years ago, D.Z. Cofield heard the Macedonian call, come to Houston. Come to help us. Y'all help me preach here. Come to serve at Good Hope. And understanding the call, he packed his bag and moved from Dallas to Houston. Do I have a witness here? Now, as we consider the teachings that this text is tailored to teach us, the first thing we notice is the prevention of the Spirit. Let the church say the prevention of the Spirit. When he heard the word, now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Why? Because God's redirection is as important as God's direction. There are moments when divine silence is actually divine speech. They were blocked by the Spirit. I need a show of hands. Somebody up in here, the Spirit blocked you on several occasions in your life. Your life would have been all messed up now had not the Spirit blocked some things in your life. Go ahead and touch your neighbor and tell them, I'm glad the Spirit blocked some things. The Spirit will block you from certain people. The Spirit will block you from certain places. And sometimes the Spirit will block you from certain things, but it'll save your life. And it'll put you on the right direction. Somebody shout, blocked by the Spirit. Paul had a plan. He was heading to Asia to preach, but Scripture says they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. And I want somebody to hear me today. This was not a denial of Paul's calling. It was a divine detour. A missionary team in the 20th century prepared to enter the region of China, but God kept blocking their visas and messing up their mode of transportation. And instead, they were rerouted to Korea, where someone said revival broke out and souls were saved all over Korea. Charles Spurgeon once said, man purposes, but God disposes. Our plans may be large, but God's plans are limitless. When God closes a door, don't bang on it. Go ahead and touch your neighbor and tell him, when God closes the door, don't bang on it. When God closes a door, don't pout. When God closes a door, don't push past providence. Trust that God blocked some things for you, from you, in order that he might bless you. Trust that blocked blessings are blessings in disguise. Every no is not a rejection. It could be God's redirection. After being blocked in Asia and Bithynia, Paul didn't stop. He kept moving until he reached Troas. Sometimes God delays the plan to deepen the faith. Paul's willingness to move forward without full clarity shows spiritual maturity. And I've come by Good Hope today to tell somebody that believers must learn to move by faith and not by frustration. The delay is not a denial. Sometimes we must be willing to go nowhere until God says go somewhere. Not only do we see the prevention of the spirit, but in verse 9, we see the petition of a man. Look at what verse 9 says. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. In the mystery of the midnight, Paul received the mission. The man of Macedonia didn't request riches. He didn't request supplies. He didn't request power. You know what he did, don't you? He cried for help. Somebody shout, somebody's crying out right now. Somebody's crying out in Houston right now. This is the cry of a spiritually starving world. God gave Paul a vision. And within that vision came a voice, a pleading voice that cried, come over into Macedonia and help us. In 1961, Martin Luther King Jr. heard the voice of a young woman in Birmingham crying out for help amid segregation. And he said that that call shaped the civil rights movement. It was a Macedonian call for justice. E. Stanley Jones said on one occasion, when the call of God comes, it often comes wrapped in the needs of others. I've come to say today that our generation is filled with silent cries. People in spiritual despair, children in violent neighborhoods, immigrants at the border. Talk back to me, somebody. The incarcerated, the impoverished. Do you hear the Macedonian call? Do you hear this man's heart? Do you hear him crying out to Paul in this vision? The man from Macedonia didn't ask Paul to bring economic assistance. He asked him for help. Somebody shout, somebody's calling for help. He was calling for help, which implies he had hope that things would get better. And that hope was tied up and rooted in the gospel, because the gospel is not just information. The gospel is transformation. It delivers people from despair and directs them to destiny. The great John Wesley declared, you have nothing to do but to save souls. Our mission, Dr. Cofield, must be evangelistic. Our mission, Good Hope, must be urgent. Do I have a witness here? Touch your neighbor and tell them our mission must be evangelistic. Our vision must be urgent. Churches must not ask how many members do we have, but how many cries have we answered? Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought, Paul said, to go to Macedonia, concluding, Tori, that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. And I want you to know this morning, Good Hope, that Paul didn't just sit on the car. Somebody ought to shout, don't sit on the car. Paul didn't debate the call. He responded immediately. That is the mark of an obedient disciple. He responded in obedience without delay. He acted with urgency. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I want you to know we're living in a time where there are a whole lot of urgencies. Listen at the word in the text immediately, because the word immediately shows us that the call of God deserves an immediate response. Do I have a witness here? The story is told of a young Billy Graham who once heard a message on surrendering to God's call. And that night, after hearing that message, Graham said he got down on his knees in the woods and said, "Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll be what you want me to be." Do I have a witness here? In other words, he said, when the Lord calls us to an assignment, we go without hesitation. The great Vance Hafner said, the devil's favorite word is tomorrow, but God's word is today. Oh, Lord, when God shows us where to go, we must move. Look at your neighbor and tell him, neighbor, when God says move, we must move, because delaying can lead to disobedience. Oh yeah, delayed obedience is disobedience in disguise. Do you hear what I'm saying? Oh yes, Paul says, when we heard the call, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia. Do you hear what I'm saying? And I'm so glad that Paul answered the Macedonian call. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because had Paul not answered the Macedonian call, he would have never made it to Philippi. Oh yeah, where a young girl was being held by the cruel chains of slavery. Oh yeah, where she was being held by the cruel chains of Satan. Do you hear what I'm saying? But one day, because Paul and Silas was where God wanted them to be. Do you hear what I'm saying? The young girl was down by the riverside. Do you hear what I'm saying? And she was saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. And she kept on saying, these are the servants of the Most High God. I need about four or five people to stand on your feet, because when Satan used her vocal cord, God used Paul to help her find deliverance. You know the rest of the story, how she lost her gift of divination. They locked Paul and Silas up in jail, but because they were in God's will, because they were where God wanted them to be, go ahead and get up on your feet and tell your neighbor, neighbor, you want to be where God wants you to be, because God will use you when you are where he wants you to be. Oh Lord, they locked Paul and Silas up in jail, but at midnight, and midnight. Paul and Silas, they prayed and sang praises unto God. And how many of you know God will hear you when you pray? Is it anybody here? God has heard you when you prayed. You don't mind testifying. Get up on your feet and tell somebody, I cried unto the Lord and he heard my cry. They prayed and sang praises and the prisoners heard him. But at midnight, God sent an angelic escape artist who smote the molecular structure of the Philippian jailhouse. And what was a disaster for the founding of Fathers of Philippi was deliverance for Paul and Silas. I'm so glad I answered God's call. I can hear God saying to somebody right now, who will go for us? Somebody shout, here am I, send me. Who will preach in a season and out of season? Somebody shout, here am I, send me. Who will answer the cry of the broken, the bound and the burdened? Somebody shout, here am I, send me. Who will say yes to God's detours and divine delays? Somebody shout, here am I, send me. Where the Lord leads, I will follow. Look at somebody and tell them, neighbor, where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all of the way, because every day with Jesus gets sweeter as the days roll by. Are you glad you answered the call? I'm glad 31 years ago DZ answered the call. Are you glad? If you're glad, let me hear you say yeah, say yeah, say yeah, say yeah, say yeah. To go, I do what he wants me to do. Is there anybody here who will go? Let me hear.